So I'm going to give the listeners a little bit of a background onto Image Plus Nation and the film festival before we start our interview. So we put it into the 33rd edition this year, which will be a virtual edition that starts on November the 19th. The Imagination Festival showcases a diversity of LGBTQ voices while putting an emphasis on showcasing an evolution of queer cinema. So I guess that my first question to you is that even though this year's festival is a virtual one, how will the festival be keeping its mandate or the status quo that the viewers come to expect from previous festivals?
Actually, there's a silver lining to going virtual. And I think for us, it means that we can actually further explore and really kind of dig into a lot of the aspects of our festival mandate, the notions around diversity, notions around intersectionality, notions around different kinds of queer storytelling, different perspectives, different identities, different difference, you know, because going virtual means that we have the freedom to show a lot more work and just show a lot more work from a lot more documentaries, because we don't have a bottom line in the same way of like, this is a venue that holds 800 people, you know, bums need to be in seats, that kind of a stuff, which I personally have felt increasingly stifling over the last number of years, because it is about selling a product and, you know, and it kind of ends up being kind of going a little bit sort of super mainstreaming some things in order to have a wide appeal, as opposed to really, really, really kind of digging into, you know, all of the different identities that make up our communities. So I'm pretty excited about that. There's a lot of challenges to going virtual. A lot of them are technical and a lot of them are like, you know, very anxiety producing. But the one really, really positive thing is that programming is pretty exceptional this year.
As well, too, you're getting the films out to a wider audience instead of
exactly
mandate of the 800 people inside.
Exactly. Yeah, the festival is available across the province of Quebec. And uniquely, our Francophone work, which is based on a Francophonie initiative that we have, is going to be available across Canada.
As well, too, the festival is creating their own Halloween fair of films this year from October the 29th to the 1st of November. So how did that become a part of the festival, and how did this become a conceived portion of the festival?
It came about because with going virtual, one has to secure a virtual festival platform. And it is, you know, there's been a very, very steep learning curve over the last 6 months. It is really, really putting on a festival in an absolutely different way. And it is technologically based. So we decided that it would be a good idea to dip our toes into it and become comfortable with streaming and all of the parameters of that, and sort of playing with the possibilities of the platform that we have this year. So we decided what better way than to do a little Halloween mini fest.
To get people prepared for...
get people prepared, and also like a little bit of fun. You know, Halloween is the queer holiday, right? Yeah. So it's really, really fun work. It's scary. It's, you know... It will just be a good time, you know, scary, gory, psycho lesbians, murderous folks. It just runs the gamut. It's exactly everything that, you know, you could think of in terms of like the horror genre. So pretty fun.
Other than the Halloween festivities and the regular November the 19th edition of the festival, will there be other activities virtually this year, like maybe some Q&As with directors of the film?
We definitely, for the festival, for Imagination 33, which does run the 19th of November to the 6th of December, it's also longer. That's another wonderful positive thing about going virtual, is that we can, you know, extend the duration of the festival to go beyond the classic 11-day festival. Yes, within that, there will be many Q&As. That's another wonderful thing, is that we can, you know, have directors from all over the world, much easier than it is to fly them in, put them up. Lots of Q&As, we want to try to also encourage kind of watch parties so that people can interact with, you know, their friends who are watching at the same time. So a lot of sort of live with or without commentary or with or without a Q&A, doesn't really matter, but that people can kind of be watching along together and have a chat with each other, you know, in a specific chat room, that kind of a stuff to try to bring us all together in these very weird times.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this might be a weird question, and I've had issues with asking festival directors and programmers inside the past about this, but if this is a successful virtual event this year, will there be consideration for a virtual component in the future for other festival editions?
We actually, there's a lot of things that have kind of converged at this due to, you know, since pandemic time. What we have been wanting for the last few years and been kind of developing it is we wanted to have a much larger online presence. We have come to the conclusion that over the last number of years that the sort of traditional festival model is in many ways kind of an outdated model. There are people have lots and lots of different ways to get their content and a lot of different platforms. And the power of the internet is that, you know, one can go global, you know, and we really do believe that it is in one of our taglines is share your stories, you know. So what better way to share your stories and be, and it doesn't have to be urban centered. Like what about the little kid who's living up in, you know, Northern Quebec? He can see himself reflected. Representations are power. So we have been developing online initiatives to have a year-round presence, to have programming available throughout the year. We've been kind of developing that. And what the pandemic has forced us, for both positively and negatively, is to really, really, really go the distance and to kind of do that. So we actually are having a complete website revamp. Our website is new. It will include a bunch of different aspects, like, for example, like Festival Plus, which is like an area where there will be sort of Q&As and panel discussions and that sort of a stuff kind of happening virtually, happening online, with making an online community. Also, programming throughout the year. So shorts programs, specific spaces, a Francophonie space. We're going to have an Indigenous Two-Spirit kind of space that are curated by representatives of those cultural communities. QT BIPOC space. So basically a year-round presence that will really allow people to have their voices heard and to have their stories seen.
I'm also suspecting that the Halloween festivities this year, from the 29th to the 1st, will be a successful festivity. Do you think that inside future editions you might include a Halloween?
Who knows? It's really hard to think about the future right now. but if it's a success, I mean, we're really hoping it is, because I think it'll be a lot of fun. We would not at all mind doing it again.
So I'm just going to remind the listeners that this year's festivities for the Halloween portion start on to the 29th of October to the 1st of November. And then the 33rd edition of Image Nation Festival starts November the 19th until December the 6th. And they can find out more information on image/nation.org.
Yeah, you are correct. For the Halloween, I+N horror, because sometimes it's scary being queer, it's important to put the tagline because I think it's really hilarious and I came up with it. There are some really wonderful pass options. You know, I'm not really, really sure. We had an early bird price and then a medium bird price. But I think that the whole thing is at a very, very reasonable price. So lots of people, we wanted to make it accessible so that all kinds of folks could come and watch three great features and a stellar shorts program.
So normally we like to end our interview onto a fun question, and with keeping the spirit of Halloween alive, what is one of your favorite horror films of all time?
One of my favorite horror films of all time?
Yeah.
I will admit, full disclosure, I'm not a super horror film fan, but actually, and I'm not just saying this because we are including it in our festival, I really am not. One of my favorites is actually a film that is touted as the first gay slasher film, which is called Hellbent, from the year 2004. And It's a pretty fantastic horror film. It really does say it checks all the boxes. So actually, really, I would say one of my favorites is Hellbent. Then maybe after that, the Blair Witch Project.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time out to speak with us today. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're very welcome.